All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. So good to be here and see all these smiling faces. How many of you were here the last time I was here? Wow. How many are here tonight? I couldn't resist that. You know, I was blessed when Bob asked if anybody here had had an anniversary. Jenny and I had our 21st anniversary on the 1st of July. The very first time I laid eyes on Jenny, I says, and I had a girlfriend, it was her best friend, and right in front of my girlfriend, I says, is your last name Basinger? And she says, no. I says, would you like it to be? It took a couple of years to wear her down, but I got her. She's a wonderful wife, and she said I could say so. You have anything you want to say, Jenny? Chicken. I'll share a bit of my testimony with you. And the Lord's got some things He wants me to minister tonight as well. So I had 3 full-time jobs as a young man. One of my jobs was on Missouri State Highway Patrol. I was a civilian employee. Worked in auto theft section. I was what they call a sub-peon trainee. Once you get to be there 25 years, you get to be a full-fledged sub-peon. But anyway, every year we had a physical, and I had this growth on my mouth that kind of looked like a wart, and I would pick it off, and it would come back, and I'd pick it off. And this went on and for a period of several years. And finally, one year in the physical in 93, I went to a dermatologist and asked him to burn it off, and he looked at it and he said, well, I'm just not really sure this is a wart. I don't know what it is. And he checked me over and he found some other areas. I had a growth on my left eye, and one on top of my left ear, and one on my nose, one on my left arm. And so they did biopsies on all of them, and they sent it to the laboratory. And the nice doctor called back and he says they were all melanomas, and he recommended surgery the next day. And he wanted to remove a large portion of my lower lip, my left lower eyelid, the top of my left ear, and a big piece out of my nose and a piece out of my left arm. I wasn't real enthused about all that. They sent me to my family doctor and did blood work on me to prepare me to go in the hospital the next day, and they doctor said, there's something wrong with your liver function. So they sent me home and told me to come back the next day. I went back the second day, and they tested me again. There's still something wrong with my liver function. Came back the third day, and there was still something wrong with my liver function. They had tested me for hepatitis and mononucleosis and AIDS, and all of that came back negative. So they sent me to the nearby cancer hospital, and they did biopsies on my liver. And I can tell you, if you have a choice between having a liver biopsy and doing a sink full of dishes or mowing your yard or even a spinal tap, do it. They're no fun. Well, the doctor told me after the report came back, he says, well, Jerry, I have good news and bad news. And me being the eternal optimist, I wanted the good news first. And he says, I don't think you need all the surgery they want to do. And I think, good, because I sure didn't want to have it. And he says, well, Jerry, the bad news is you have advanced liver cancer, and you need to go home and get your affairs in order because you'll be dead in a month or less. And I said, well, what are my options? He says, you don't have any. And I tell people, as honestly as I know how, I went to church every week doing God a favor, but I wasn't saved. And I like to be able to say I just fell head over heels in love with Jesus that weekend, but the fact of the matter was I was scared, I was dying, and I knew it, and I knew that the card I drew was go straight to hell, did not pass, go, do not collect $200. And I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and He could have thrown up every reason in the world not to save me, but He didn't. He saved me. And on the way back to my seat, he told me to look at Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3. And I got my Bible out and I looked and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." So I said, "Well, Lord, I just ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Are you going to heal me too?" He says, "I already have, Jerry." "Well, Lord, you could have fooled me. I don't feel any different. I still hurt. I'm still sick." And the neatest thing happened in that one of the elders of the church was giving the announcements and said that there was a young man in the hospital out of our congregation in ICU, and they weren't expecting him to live through the afternoon. And so I did what just every new Christian does, I think. "Well, Jesus just saved me. I'm going to go pray for this man." And I went and prayed for him, and God healed him right then, right there. And he's still healed today. And I thought, that was sure easy. And I've been doing that ever since. See, I just thought that sick getting healed was just part of being a Christian. I just thought that, you know, you pray for people and God heals them, and what do you do next? You go find somebody else to go pray for it. And you keep doing it until he calls you home. I didn't realize until sometime later that the Lord had done something really special in my life, and the fact that nearly everybody I was praying for was getting healed. And I thought, God, this is something. And over a period of a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, the melanomas on me just went away. And I don't know where they went. I don't care where they went. They're just gone. But the symptoms of the liver cancer, now keep in mind the doctor said I'd be dead in like 3 weeks or less. 9 months later, the symptoms are still hanging on, and I'm very, very sick. I get down to about 87 pounds. I've always been this big, huge man. But I got so skinny, I only had one side. And I owned a furniture repair business that I did when I worked on the highway patrol, because when you work for the state, you better have a real job. Because they don't pay much. Told my wife I was staying there because of my insurance, and the highway patrol very gracefully sent me a refund that month on my family plan, my health insurance. And I thought I got a raise. Turned out, you know, I got this letter from them that says, "We decline to insure you any longer." So I have no insurance. So if I got a month to live and I got no insurance, why am I going to waste it on the highway patrol? So I resigned my job and determined to try to feed Jenny and I on my furniture repair business. The first thing that happened is I was making maybe a couple $100 a month fixing furniture, and I was putting a lot of hours in. I just wasn't making much. But very first month out, I made more with my furniture repair job than I did all three of my jobs put together. And God got me all kinds of business, and I would, sick as I was determined to work. And it would have been easy to just lay in bed, but God's word said that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so I said, okay, that's what he said, I'm healed. And I'd go to people's houses, and I was so weak that I could no longer pick my toolboxes up, and my skin was turning all yellow. It was already yellow because my kidneys were failing. And I would drag my toolbox into somebody's house, and they say, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, I had melanomas and liver cancer, but God healed me." "Well, you don't look healed." I said, "Well, I don't feel healed, but I always carried this pocket Bible with me." I'd pull it out, and I'd open it up, and say, "This is what God said." They'd read it, and they'd say, "Oh, but you don't look healed." And I'd say, "But I am healed because God said so. Doesn't matter if I feel like I'm healed. Doesn't matter if I look like I'm healed. God's word said it. And as far as I'm concerned, that's it." Amen. Well, I was confessing God's healing all the time. I don't know if I was trying to convince me or trying to convince God or trying to convince the devil. I don't know. All I know is I was confessing my healing. Every time a pain hit, and that was pretty often, I would say, "Thank God for the word of God. Thank God I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He bore all my sickness and all my diseases." And I would be telling this stuff to people, and they would say, "Well, you know, I got this or that the matter with me. Would you pray for me?" And I'd finish my furniture repair job, and I would sometimes sit and minister to these people 3 or 4 hours and pray for them. And if they didn't know Jesus when I came, they would know Jesus when I left. And God would generally heal them. God had a game he played with me. I took Jenny with me on a furniture repair service call one day, and I did a lot of work for Montgomery Wards, and they would send me to people's houses to inspect mattresses when somebody would buy a bed and it didn't feel good. So they'd send me out, rather than refund it, they'd send me out to see if there was really something wrong with it. And every time I went to inspect them after, somebody in that house got healed. And so I've been on several service calls that day, and nobody had got healed. And my last service call turned out to be a mattress inspection. I looked at Jenny and I said, somebody's getting healed tonight. We went to this house, and I rang the doorbell, and this man answered the door, and I looked at him. He didn't look like anything was the matter with him. And he walked me back to the bedroom to look at the bed, and I walked out and got my tape measure and a big stick that I used to measure if it had a sag in it, how much sag, and my report. And I was filling out, and then I heard this noise of somebody take a step and scrape, and step and scrape, and step and scrape. And I turned around and I looked, and it was his wife, and she was carrying her left arm, I believe it was, and, you know, walking like this, you know. Like this. You know, like Igor does, you know. And he says, walk this way, master. But I asked her, I says, what happened to you? And she said, I had a stroke when I was 4 years old. And I looked at Jenny and I says, somebody's getting healed. I finished the mattress report and I told her how God had healed me of cancer and asked her if I could pray for her. And I prayed for her and God healed her right there on the spot. She walked like a normal person, followed us out the truck. And praise God, her husband didn't look too happy there. But to God be the glory, you know, I think he was getting a big fat pension for her. And, you know, she was just praising God and weeping. And I don't know how old she was. She was probably in the late 40s, I would say. All her life, she'd been carrying her arm and dragging her foot. And Jesus showed up and showed her mercy. And it makes me know beyond any shadow of a doubt that when we cry out to him for mercy, he gives it to us, whether we think we deserve it or not. You see, it doesn't have anything to do with deserve it, I found out, because, folks, I was married. Jenny's my fourth wife. And out of four wives, one day the revelation of God hit me that there was one thing in common between all four marriages, and that was me. So it dawned on me one day there could have been a remotely tiny, infinite possibility I could have been part of the problem. Tiny chance. And so if anyone ever deserved to die and go to hell, I'm absolutely convinced it was me. You know, Paul says in here he was chief among sinners, but Paul was alive then, he would have had to sit down and shut up because I took first place. And knowing how God healed me, and then I had this series of little minor problems, like I was still doing furniture repair, and one day I had this box that was, it was about 3 feet high and 3 feet wide and about a foot thick, and it didn't weigh much. It was a back cushion of a recliner, you know, with all the framework in it. And I was going to take it, carry it off the loading dock down, put it in my van, and go to a service call. And somehow or another, I missed the step, and I walked off the loading dock and hit my right lower leg on the concrete step and broke my leg and landed on my knee and shattered my kneecap. So they called an ambulance for me. And in the meantime, you know, I'm laying there and I got a bone stuck out the front of my leg and blood all over my pants. And I'm crying out, God, oh God, heal me. And he says, run across the parking lot, Jerry. I says, Lord, I got a broken leg. Run across the parking lot. And I look back on it, I try to remember, it was possibly cloudy that day and God couldn't see, my leg was broke. But the third time the Lord told me to get up and run across the parking lot, I stood up. Well, you have two bones in your lower leg, a tibia and a fibula. Well, the tibia, I think it was, the big bone was the one that was broken. My leg would hold me up, but it's smarter than a bite. And I put my weight on it, and I took a step, and I took another step, and the Lord says, run, and I ran, and I came back, and I pulled my pants leg up, and the bone was back, and the hole was gone, and all I had was a big bloody hole in my pants leg. And God healed it. And there was a man I'd been ministering to. He was a motorcyclist. He was not an outlaw biker, but he wasn't a real nice guy either. But anyway, he dropped to his knees and found Jesus that day. And so I think, was it worth a broken leg for a soul for the kingdom? You betcha. Well, you know, the devil he was determined to show me that he was going to have the last laugh, and my legs swelled up and turned black, and I had red streaks running down my leg. And of course, you know, all natural looks, it looked like I had gangrene. And if I would have went to the doctor, they probably would have cut my leg off. But I didn't go to the doctor, because I didn't go back to the doctor when they told me I was going to die with cancer. I just got this thing. Every time I went to a doctor, they told me something bad, and I didn't want to go to the doctor, you know. Just like you go to the tax man. Every time you go to the tax man, they tell you you owe them, so you just don't go. Well, anyway, after confessing my healing on that, and the swelling went down, the knee became normal looking again and everything, took a couple, 3 weeks. But anyway, it was healed. And then I was working on a Lazy Boy recliner at Montgomery Ward's late at night, right before they closed, and people were waiting for it. And I had it laying on its back with the footrest sticking straight up in the air, and I had a pair of vice grips on it to hold it open so I could get down inside of it and work. And either the bolt broke or the wrench slipped off, I don't know which, but in the process, my finger got caught in the mechanism and went snip, just like a pair of scissors. And here I was, a guitar player, you know, and I was sitting there with this middle finger of my left hand just going swinging. I was like, how am I supposed to play guitar? You know, goofy stuff, you think about it. So there was the lady who answered the phone, was an RN, and she worked at Ward's part-time. And she says, you better wash that and, you know, get to the hospital. Well, I went in the bathroom wash, and of course this thing was going squirt, 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 because I'd severed the artery in it. And so I got a popsicle stick out of my toolbox that I mixed glue up on, and, you know, I'm from the Ozarks, and so we got duct tape and baling wire and all that kind of stuff. So I took some duct tape, and I put my finger back together, and I duct taped it onto the popsicle stick, and then I took some super glue, and I pulled this tendon over here, and I put a drop of super glue with a pair of tweezers, and I take the other tendon and put it back over there, and then when I'm all done, I push it over and seal it up with super glue and went about my work. And it didn't hurt. Yet. Oh boy, but in about 3 days it hurt. And anyway, and that was good, because that meant it was something good going on. Well, anyway, so after 3 days I took the popsicle stick and I said, Jenny, look, my finger's still there. Couldn't bend it, but still there. And I'll never forget this. 7 days to the day, we were over to a friend's house we went to church with, and he had a guitar sitting over against the wall. And so, just like my habit is, I see a guitar, I got to play it. I walked over and picked that thing up, and I was sitting there playing this guitar, and all of a sudden I realized, hey, 7 days ago I cut my finger off, and this thing's working fine. Right. 7 days to the day, it was healed perfectly. I've never had any trouble with it since. The only residual thing I have is you can still feel the super glue inside my finger and the metal. Doesn't hurt, but yet the lump's still there. And then I was asking Jenny, I said, I don't understand, because, you know, I've worked with power tools and all this kind of stuff all my life, and I'm not accident prone. And I was asking my wife, you know, what's going on here? And she said, well, God's trying to teach you faith. I said, well, you don't have to cut my finger off and break my leg. I just believed all that stuff comes from God at the time. I didn't know any better. I was dumb, you know. But anyway, then on the 15th of August of 95, I had a wasp in my kitchen window. And Jenny had been packing boxes because God had been telling her to pack. And I thought she was leaving, but he told her, you know, not that it ever happened before, but, you know. But anyway, she was packing boxes because God told her that we were going to get a new home. And he hadn't told me yet. He was too busy breaking legs and cutting fingers off. Well, anyway, I had this wasp in the kitchen window, and so I couldn't find a fly swatter. So I went down to my workshop, and I got this big rubber band. And I'm not talking about rubber band. I'm talking about this thing clamps wood. And, like, if you pull it back a foot, it's about 40 pounds. And so I pulled this thing back, and this wasp was about to meet his maker. And all of a sudden, my finger bent back, and that rubber band went back in my eye. And I wore glasses and contact lenses at that time. I had 20/200 in this eye, and I had 20/250 in my right eye all my life. And my left eye never would correct any better than 20/60. It was a lazy eye. And my right eye would correct 20/20 with glasses. But anyway, this rubber band went back in my good eye, and I was wearing hard contact lenses, and it just literally exploded my eye, just like you take a cherry tomato and smack. And so I went to the hospital. They looked at it and says, we can't do anything for you. And they put a patch over my eye and told me not to bend over. and I'd already bent over. And I remember to my dying day, when that rubber band hit my eye, it sounded like somebody taking a watermelon and dropping it on the sidewalk. There was a big white flash of light, and then everything was black. And I spent a month blind in my right eye. And of course, everybody knew on the highway patrol that I wore glasses. And in Missouri, you have 30 days to take your vision test to renew your driver's license, or you have to take the written and the driving test, everything all over again. And so I was going to the doctor every day, and he would examine my eye, and it was all blood inside and couldn't see anything. So finally, after about 3 weeks, it cleared up enough and started reinflating again, but the pupil was fully dilated, like it was dead, and it was dead. I couldn't see any light. But it hurt all the time, though. But anyway, they told me they wouldn't have to remove my eye unless it got infected, but I would never see again. And on that 30th day, I had Jenny take me to the doctor in the morning, and then we drove to the driver's license bureau, and I was going to try to get a hardship driving privilege with one eye, which was my one that would only correct 20/60. And they told me to take my glasses off, and when I did, and I put my eye to the machine, it said, read the smallest line you could read, and I read the very bottom line, the 20/10 line. And they said, well, Mr. Basinger, we can take the glasses restriction off your driver's license. You passed perfect. And I ran right back to the eye doctor again and said, doctor, doctor. I wasn't quite that calm about it. And I drove back, by the way. And all the people in the waiting room, I made sure they knew. I says, God has healed my eye. And, you know, and I told them all about it while I was waiting to go in there. And I says, check this out, doctor. And I put my hand over my bad eye and, you know, over my bad eye before, and my good eye, I could only read 20/60 with the glasses, and I read the 20/20 line with my left eye, and then I says, now watch this, and I put that over, and I read the 20/10 line with my bad eye, and he says, I don't know what happened. I says, I do. God healed me, just like His Word said He would do. So I know firsthand the faithfulness of God. He's not only faithful to save, He's faithful to heal, He's faithful to show mercy. We tend to think God will heal somebody else. And just like the leper in Matthew chapter 8, you know, he says he kneeled down and beseeched Jesus, says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He knew he could, but he didn't know he would. Why? Well, because there had been no other lepers healed up to that time. So when Jesus says, he reached out his hand and touched him and said, I will. And when Jesus says, I will, it canceled his if. I want tonight to cancel your if by the Word of God. Whatever it is you're dealing with in your body, I want to cancel the if. You know he can, but many of you don't know he will. And there was a scripture the Lord gave me as I was sitting here earlier, and I says, I didn't really know for sure if the Lord was going to have me minister much more than my testimony, but I'd like to turn, for those that have Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Wow, I couldn't do that again. Turn right to it. Praise God. I'd like to start in, where would I like to start? 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, about the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which was wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things, I want you to get this, He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. We're the church, right? Yes. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, I want to make something kind of clear to you here. Has any of you ever read about, like, when somebody has their head decapitated? The body doesn't work too well without the head, does it? The head doesn't work too well with the body. Or the head runs around and says, I ain't got no body. But God gave Jesus power above all principality. And we're the body. He can't do anything without us. We can't do anything without Him. And there have been people, and I've been there and done this too, so I know what I'm speaking about. You think, I know God can heal me. And the devil says, not on my watch. You got a little ache here, and a little pain here, and a little symptom here, and a little thing going on there. And all but the Word of God is glorious, and it says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And he says,
I think so, devil.
Because I'm the body, and I have the same blood flowing in me that the head has. And the head has the same blood flowing in it that the body has. They're connected. We're connected to Him by His blood. The Father set all principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and all this stuff, at the very bottom of the food chain. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I used to think that angels were the next tier of power. But no, it says we will judge angels. So it's the Godhead, and then us, then angels, and then animals, cattle, plants, fish, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, and someplace under dirt is the devil. He's on the bottom of the pecking order. There is, when he looks to see who's under him and he can boss around, there ain't nobody. He's it. Why are we afraid of him? We have the blood of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the wisdom of Christ. You know, it says in here that he wants our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened that we may know what is the hope of his calling. Over here in Luke 10, verse 19, the Lord downloaded something really powerful on me a few years ago. And I want to share this with you because I believe it'll change your life for the better. It'll be mine. Now, we're all disciples of Christ Jesus in here, as far as I know. Is there anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because I don't want you to go out of here not knowing Him, because you can be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He says if we diligently hearken to obey Him, we'll be the head and not the tail. Anybody ever see a pack of dogs before? Anybody ever seen a pack of dogs running? You know, if you're not the head dog, the view never changes. He wants us to have the head view, okay? And if you don't belong to Christ Jesus, you're in the back. You're at the back of the line. The scenery never, never changes. But when you're the head, oh, it's good because you get to choose where you're going to go and what you're going to see and what you're going to sniff and taste or whatever. Luke 10:19, Jesus said to his disciples, and we are his disciples today, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to make this verse come alive to you right now. There's two words, power, in here. Behold, I give unto you power. That is the Greek word exousia. In a nutshell, I could read you the whole definition, but it's magistrate power, it's executive power, it's might, and the power to use might to do right. What I like best about it says absolutely prohibits the presence of a hindrance. That's some bad stuff there, folks. Behold, I give unto you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. And that word is dunamis. Anybody heard the word dunamis before? You know, it's where we get the word dynamite or dynamo. And it signifies great power. And I always used to think that only God had dunamis. And the Lord says, no. Dunamis is signs, wonders, miracles normally attributed to God, but the devil can do dunamis. And I says, is that so? You know, dumb to question God, but I did, you know. I said, Lord, explain to me. He says, go back in Exodus where Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh. Are any of you familiar with the story where Aaron threw down his staff and it became a serpent? And he says, this is a demonstration of exousia power. And Pharaoh's sorcerers and magicians said, no problem. We can do that. They threw their staffs down. They became serpents. But what happened next? Aaron's serpent ate theirs. Okay? When Aaron reached down and took his serpent by the tail, it became a staff. What happened to the staffs of the sorcerers? They didn't get them back. Why? Because exousia trumps dunamis. The devil can do lying signs and wonders. And the Lord explained to me early on in our ministry. He says, Jerry, I took all of your sicknesses and diseases. And actually, when you read it in the Hebrew, in Isaiah, it talks about he bore our sicknesses, our calamities, tragedies, and maladies. In other words, if you're walking down the street and somebody drops a piano out of a skyscraper and it falls on you, well, that's a malady for you, a tragedy for the piano. But you're covered. You see, but he said, I took all of your tragedies, your sicknesses, your diseases, your maladies, but I didn't take your symptoms. And I thought, well, Lord, what do you mean? And he says, every time you have a sickness or pain in your body, he says, Satan's doing that to you. Well, why is he doing that, Lord? Well, because he just wants to make you doubt the integrity of the Word of God. So you know that you know in your heart, well, I'm healed with the stripes of Jesus, and I have no explanation, Lord, why. If I'm healed like your Word says, why do I still have all this going on in my body? It's symptoms. My friends, there's a huge difference between sickness and symptoms. I'll try to explain something here. We'll say, for example, you're driving down the road in your car and all of a sudden you hear this knocking in and say, something sounds wrong here. And you pull off the side of the road and you look under the hood and of course you don't know what you're looking at. And you get back in the car and you go to your nearest garage and you go in and tell the mechanic, I think I got something wrong with my car, you know. And so he says, start it up and it goes like that. And he says, boy, that sounds pretty serious. Sounds like you got a rod bearing knocking or something. I said, well, is that serious? He says, about $5,000 serious. Oh. Well, I don't have $5,000, but, you know, and I've got to have my car because I've got to work. So you go to the banker and you sign your life away and you get the $5,000 and you take it down and give it to the nice mechanic and he orders an engine for you. And then in the process of taking the engine apart, he's under there loosening bolts and he bangs the exhaust pipe to his arm and it goes. And I think, So he gets up there and he tightens that exhaust pipe up and he goes to start your car and doesn't make a noise. Do you think he's going to call you and say all you had was a loose nut? No, you bought an engine. Okay. He had all the symptoms of a bad engine. But it was a symptom. It wasn't the real thing. And Satan, what he does is he does these lying signs and wonders, the dunamis. You see, Jesus never took the dunamis away from Satan, but he took the exousia away, and he gave it to us. So that when the devil tries to lie to us and tell us Jesus didn't heal you, you got this pain. Oh, see, you're not healed. That's when you say, no, devil. He bore my sickness, and I'm not taking your symptoms. You're a liar. God's telling the truth. You're the liar, devil, because your body's not lying to you. It feels these things. Those pains are real. But God's not going to lie to you either. His word is true. And I'll tell you what, don't ever get so puffed up and vain to think that you're going to be the first person God ever lied to, because it ain't going to happen, folks. He has never lied in all eternity, and he's not going to start with you. I really felt that I needed to share that with you tonight, because especially as some of us are getting older. I'm not getting older, but some of us are getting older. And the devil tries to put this on you. Well, you know, I'm rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I know I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He says,
"Ain't so."
He hits you with this. Oh, boy, that hurts. Oh, I thought you was healed by Jesus. Well, I thought so, but what? Word doesn't say that. But the devil's up to doing just exactly what he was doing in the Garden of Eden. He's out to deceive us. He is out to steal the Word of God. He is out to try to discredit the integrity of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, God honors His Word above His name. If He says you're healed, you're healed. Your body can be telling you, oh, I'm not healed. Your doctor can say you're not healed. Your best friend can say you're not healed. You know, the devil come up and says, oh, you know what's the matter? You got the Ephesuti. And somebody will say, oh my God, my Aunt Clara died of Ephesuti. And then you start feeling worse and worse and worse. And you're running and telling everybody, I got the opportunity. Oh my God. Stay away from me. And the devil will agree with you, and he'll keep piling symptoms on you until you're thoroughly convinced that God has told you a lie. And that's how he operates. But God is not a liar. If he says you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then you better just start rejoicing and praising God. Because, you know, I tell people, I says, what would you do if you knew that you knew that you knew you would never, ever have another sick day in your life? Would you be praising God for it? Well, then you better be doing it, because his word already says that. If you're in covenant with Christ Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, he is also your healer. And it cannot be separated from salvation. Salvation and healing is one and the same. Sticks tighter than the paint on the wall. You just can't get them apart. But the devil will try to drive that wedge between you and God by putting symptoms on you. Now, Jesus never took your symptoms, but he gave you Luke 10:19 to rebuke the symptoms soundly. You know, for example, if somebody comes and knocks on your door and they're holding this wiggling bag, and you think, what's this? And he says, oh, this is a bag of rattlesnakes. I brought these just for you. Oh, bring them right on in, brother. You know, snakes in the bathroom, snakes in the bathtubs, snakes in the kitchen. No, you're going to tell them, go on down the road. I don't want them. They don't belong to me. Well, see, this is the thing. You know, the devil will come and he'll offer his little bag of rattlesnakes to you. Now, they're yours if you accept them. But if you got any smarts, you won't. Send them to your boss. No, don't even send them there. You know, just return the sender. There you go. We have to realize, you know, especially as we get older, that the devil will try to put aches and pains and little things here and a little thing there, and, you know, and before you know it, you're a mess. And you're calling everybody and says, hey, can I borrow some of your pain pills? Or, hey, you know, you got any leftover Efizudi medicine here or something like this? And he's got you running in circles, chasing your tail, and forgetting all about the Word of God. You see, that's what he does. He wants to get that Word of God out of your life. He wants to steal it. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Is it more abundantly if the devil's flooded your house? Is it life more abundantly if you can't pay your bills? Is it life more abundantly if you got more bunk than you got money? No. And the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He is an equal opportunity destroyer. He would just as soon destroy you as anybody. And he can't touch God, so he's after God's children. And guess what? You're it. You got a big target painted right on you, but you don't have to let that big target on your back bother you. I get up in the morning and I show it to him. Hey, devil, see the target? Here I am. Come on over here. You want a piece of this? We don't have to be afraid of him. Rather, when you get up in the morning and he says, oh no, they're awake again. That's what it should be. If you're a child of God, you're above, not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. You're blessed going out, you're blessed coming in. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I think that pretty much covers it. You can't go wrong with God. Some people I've talked to, you know, they take drugs or alcohol, and they're looking for a high. And I tell them there's no high like the Most High. There's no excitement like knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll never have a dull day in your life, I promise you. Devil will see to that. But you know something? You don't have to be afraid of him. He's no threat to you whatsoever. He's no match to even a baby believer, if the believer will use the word. God has given us the most powerful weapon. They talk about in Iran, all these places, these nuclear weapons, and nothing compared to this. This thing is the most powerful weapon that there is in the universe, and we have a copy of it in our homes. And it's ours if we'll use it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end is not dying of cancer. Expected end is long life, while I satisfy you and show you my salvation. God has healed multiple people of diabetes for me. There's no difference between healing a hangnail and and whatever you can think of. Every disease has a name. Every name, every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And will bow. Whether it wants to or not. We don't ask if it wants to. We command it. And it gets done. You know, as men and women of God, many of us have asked, I'm feeling this in my spirit right now, but Lord, what do you want me to do? We have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus come to this earth? Simple. To seek and save the lost. Job one. So what should be the job of the Christian? Seek and save the lost, whichever ones he puts in your path. There are people that you can touch that I'll never be able to touch. People that will listen to you that won't listen to me. God will put the people who are ripe for the harvest in your path. If you really want to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ, you say, Lord, put the ones that are ready in my path today so I can minister the Word of God to them. You don't want to be putting the seed on the sidewalk. You want to sow it in fertile ground. God knows who's ready. God knows who's willing. You know, you want to get up in the morning and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Boy, Jenny and I have done that. We've been all over the country. He sends us. All he's doing is looking for people who are willing. He says his eyes go to and fro throughout Europe, searching for those to prove himself strong on behalf of. Oh, he'll prove himself strong. He'll confirm his word. You don't have to worry about praying for somebody and then, well, what if God doesn't heal them? I'll be embarrassed. Well, so what if you're embarrassed? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. I spent 45 years being a fool for the devil, so I know all about being a fool. So I'm not worried about being embarrassed by God. And by the way, I don't get embarrassed because he confirms his word. He backs his promises. If I preach his promises, he'll back them up. If I preach my promises, you know, he's not obligated to do that. Just like, for example, you know, if Bob hands me his checkbook and says, buy what you want and I'll back it, I'm going to spend his money. But, you know, if I find his checkbook out on the sidewalk and I start writing checks, he's not obligated to back those checks. He didn't authorize it. God authorizes healing. He told his disciples to do it. Jesus demonstrated. He says, I and my Father are one. I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. Then he gave a command, Matthew 10:8. And like I said, the Lord told me, he said, Jerry, I didn't tell you to pray for the sick. Well, you could have fooled me, God. I've been doing it all this time. What do you mean? He said, I said, heal the sick. Well, how do I do that? He says, you don't. I do. You send the word. I'll do the job. You write the check, I'll cash it. Easy. He won't embarrass you. You know, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. We can't earn it by our good works. We can't earn it by how many times we go to church. We can't earn it by how much we give in our tithes and offerings. We have freely received exousia power. Now, what are we going to do with it? We can change the world, or we can say, oh, how sad it is. What are we going to do with what God has given us? No, we're all going to stand before God, and there's only one or two things going to happen. People are going to hear, well done, or they're going to be well done. And the choice is ours. So if we think that God doesn't have a job for us, we're thinking wrong. God puts lost and unsaved people before us every day. Only you can touch those. Give them the good news. Hand them the check, the gospel. Let God cash it for them. Praise God. That's all I got. Thank you for purchasing teachings from Life Healing Ministries. We would like to also invite you to visit our website at www.lifehealingministries.org. And if this teaching has been a blessing to you, we would like to ask you to be a financial partner with Life Healing Ministries to help us to work together to take the gospel all over the world. You can reach us at area code 573-690-4367 anytime that you need prayer or counsel or any other thing that you need to contact us for. We're there for you. God bless you.